by what we ask all of them, and you will accept our blessings, our praise. Today's message will include my series on the book of Romans. We praise the Lord, we have learned a lot together. When Paul, why did Paul write? Why did he write this epistle to the church in Rome from the city of Corinth? There are four main reasons why he did that. First, emphasis on justification by faith. This is the number one, this is the main theme of the book of Romans. Secondly, Paul's intention was to share the gospel in Spain, so he hoped to pay them a visit on the way to Rome. And number three, explanation on how the Jews may be saved. And number four, he wants them to stand firm on their faith and live a sanctified life. So it was for these four reasons he wrote to the church in Rome, where he had never stepped foot before. By this time, Paul was advanced in age. He had to struggle a lot in order to pen this epistle. And the instruments for writing of that period was either a feather dipped in ink or a piece of sharpened wood. It took Paul a very long time to finish the 16 chapters. It is really not an easy task. So can you imagine an elderly Paul writing such a long letter to a group of people whom he had never met? So Paul was well in age. He has never met this group of people. But if we pay more attention to his letter, we will discover the voice of a servant. So today, the title that I'm preaching on is The Voice of the Servant. I'm sure every one of us is able to feel Paul's faithfulness to Jesus, his love to the brothers and sisters, and his heart for the lost. So the letter may be very long, but his love for the people was even deeper. It has never occurred to Paul when he wrote this epistle that one day it will be read by millions of people all over the world. So now let us take a look at Romans chapter 15. Let's look at verse 14 again. When Paul said, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are filled with goodness and full of all the knowledge you need to be able to instruct one another. Now he's at the end, he's nearing the end of the books of Romans. So these are words from his heart. So he described them as full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent in exhortation. I believe he meant it from the depth of his heart. So these three items, these three characteristics, full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent in exhortation. These are important characteristics of a mature church. And also, a born-again Christian is also after all these things. So we need not only to be full of goodness, we must also hunger for spiritual knowledge, and we must also frequently exhort other Christians. So full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent in exhortation are of utmost importance. So we learn a lot from these lessons by Paul. Just think about it. After we accepted Jesus into our life, the new self gradually eclipses the old. Our life begins to transform into the perfect image. At the same time, when we study the Word of God, in Sunday schools and cell group meetings, our spiritual lives become more mature. So we start to care for each other, and we want to serve one another. So are all these characteristics of the church filled with the love of God? Are these the characteristics of the church that follow the teachings of the Lord? From the bottom of my heart, I am proud of you. God has led me to this church. In the past 3 years, I have a lot of ministry and serving together with brothers and sisters of LTCC, and we are always working as a teamwork. Teamwork is that you and me and everybody, we work together as a team, we unite together, and as God leads us and guides us, together we serve His ministry in this area. And so together we may fulfill the mission as God has entrusted us. This is a wonderful need for us to accomplish, for what we do today will last into eternity. So let us together, our members together, the cell groups together, to accomplish this wonderful mission. It's one thing. Praise the Lord. Let us continue to read Romans 15:17-18. Let's take a look. Therefore, in the Messiah Jesus, I have the right to boast of what I have done. I am bold enough to tell you only about what the Master has accomplished through me in bringing Gentiles to obedience by my words and actions. After we finish reading these two sentences, these two verses, what do you see? We discover that Paul was indeed a faithful servant. Because we can see, he possessed two very important characteristics. Number one, he humbled himself to lift up Jesus. Number two, he was full of bravery and perseverance. When I was reading this chapter, I realized that Paul has lived his life to the fullest. He is a great example for us to emulate. I especially like his bravery because he knew whom he had believed in, the one and only true God. God that is almighty, that is powerful. The God that is that has come back to life from death. And Paul is a very faithful servant, the Lord Jesus, because he really knows the Lord. Not only does he know God Almighty, he learns it, understands his teachings, but he lives his life out. So when we read the Bible, learning the teachings is not enough. We must apply it in our lives so that we can make it happen in our daily lives. And Paul is one who constantly lives his life according to the teaching by living it out in his daily living. Paul is one who is really faithful to the teachings of the Lord. So when Paul arrived at the city of Corinth, he found idol worship was rampant in that city. He also found lots of craftsmen whose jobs were to manufacture images of those idols. Those people were powerful. And Paul was only alone, but he was never intimidated by them because he knew Jesus was with him. So bravely, he began to challenge the belief with the ultimate goal of bringing them to repentance and faith in the one true God. His ultimate goal, I repeat, is to bring them to repentance so that those unbelievers will have faith and receive redemption in this one true God. So eventually, he helped them to establish the church. He helped ground them in their faith. So we find that Paul is one who is very talented. He ground them in their faith. And he helped them to establish the church. So this is the examples of a true servant of the Lord. Well, there are three times that he spent on a missionary trip, and he had experienced many difficulties, hunger, lack of sleep, and many persecutions. So let's pause and think. What was the reason and motivation behind Paul's perseverance in his life? What has pushed him so much to serve the Lord? What is the motivation behind that? There is only one reason. He knew that serving the Lord Jesus was everything. So he became a faithful servant of the Lord. So he wanted to completely invest his life into serving the Lord. He realized that living for the Lord is the best for himself. Although Paul has sacrificed a lot in his entire life, yet he was full of humility. He made up his mind to only lift up the name of Jesus and nothing else. He wouldn't want to mention anything else. But Paul is a very talented and learned person. It's similar to a PhD of our time. For that reason, the more he lifts up the name of Jesus, the Lord upheld his name in return. So sometimes I wonder, when he was living, I'm sure he would never have thought about the 13 chapters of this epistle that he wrote were completely accepted into the biblical canon. The book of Romans is one of the books of the New Testament. Yet today, millions and millions of people have read letters that was written by Paul. My fellow brothers and sisters, what do we see here? We can see that Lord Jesus loves such a servant as Paul. Take a look at our society. Even in this Christian circle, there are more famous people than humble servants in the church today. They look at the mass evangelistic crusades. The committee had a hard time getting keynote speakers to preach because they realized that if they cannot find some top speakers, the attendance will be seriously affected. So it's hard on those committees that help prepare all those crusades and mass evangelism meetings. There was a survey conducted at some very famous seminary. Results was alarming. Most of the seminarians prefer to pastor a mega church. They want to be pastors of a huge church and be a great pastor. And they want to serve in a big church or a big organization as if they can only be effective serving a big church or big Christian organization. It was for this reason. Nowadays, we'll find less and less workers who are willing to go to small towns or poor villages to serve the Lord. So there are more and more famous pastors, less and less true servants of the Lord. That is why we can see in those poor places, small towns, we found only very few nameless missionaries who are willing to go there and serve the Lord faithfully. Let us learn from the sacrifice that those people who put their lives in those backward regions of the world, those are the missionaries, are the servants that God will love. Think about it. If the culture of the church has evolved into that of this world, then we have a big and serious problem. Especially in the United States, mega churches has become the success story of church growth. Now, does it mean that God especially blessed them? Teaching from the scriptures seem to say otherwise. But please do not misunderstand me. More people coming to worship is good. But if we only concentrate on the attendance and the programs, then we will run the risk of putting human as the center of our worship. We need to be very careful. We must not pretend to worship God. We must not fall into trap, and actually, instead of worshiping God, we begin to ingratiate ourselves in those worship services. Let's not forget, Christ is the Lord of the church. Only He is worthy of our worship. All churches must live up the Lord and His cross. All churches, whatever language they use, whatever culture they are, all churches in the world, they must only uplift the name of Christ and the church. Salvation is found in no one else. Because Jesus is the Lord who has risen from death. He is forever victorious. And all authorities in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. So we must worship the one and only true God, not a famous preacher, not those invited speakers who are well known, but Jesus Himself that we need to worship. And when we think about this great God, He left heaven and came down to the world to save us. Listen to what Jesus said of Himself. Mark 10, verse 45 has this to say. Because even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many people. This verse tells us Jesus, He is from heaven and yet He came down to the world. He was the King of kings and Lord of lords. Such a glorious position. Yet He came down to the world just to save all the people and to serve the people, the multitude, to such an extent that He would give up His life for all of us. This is the real life of a servant. It shows that this was the true sacrificial love of Jesus. This was also a boundless love of Christ. Now let us look at our generations, especially in Southeast Asia. I'm sure you go to church, to the restaurants to dine. There are a lot of people who went to the restaurants have such a mentality. Hey, I am here to spend money, so I must be treated like a king. Hey, waiter, waitress, come serve me. The attitude was really, really bad. So they degrade the esteem of the waitress. In Japan, there are even restaurants that station two of the employees at the entrance. Their job is to humbly bow and greet every patron who enters the restaurant. So gradually, these employees began to develop a very low self-esteem of themselves. And their boss is not helping either. Of course, they don't want to lose their customers. In the opinion of the boss, the customers are always right. That is not right. Well, in the West, it is a little bit better. Back in those days, a lot of Chinese came to America. They work in the restaurants. Yeah, their way of thinking is very different. All jobs are equal. Everyone works hard to earn their share. If the customers are unreasonable, if their remarks are insulting, you must make a stand. Of course, the employers themselves too must act likewise. Now, I want to stress a point here. Our attitude as a servant of Jesus Christ is to emulate Jesus. That means we must act humble. But take note, humility is not humiliation. It is not lack of dignity. For the Bible teaches us to think of ourselves as not overbearing. The Bible tells us that think of oneself with sober judgment, that means not overbearing. Unfortunately, this seems to be full of strife in the church, mainly due to the wrangling for power. This isn't surprising. Even two of the disciples of Jesus were having the same issue. Who should be on the left and right of the Lord? Take a look at the lesson from Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, verses 40 to 44, let's take a look at verse 40. Let's take a look at it. Verse 40 says, "But it is not up to me to grant you right at my right hand or my left. Those positions have already been prepared for others." When the heard about this, they began to be furious with James and John. Jesus called his disciples and told them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." So Christians, you must have the heart of a servant. This is the biggest difference between the church and the world. In the world, if you are the owner of a big corporation with many employees serving under you, then you are successful. So you are the boss, you are the biggest. But in the church of Jesus Christ, a true servant is one who serves many. When there is a need, I will be there. I am blessed when I serve someone. Whether it is one person or 10 or even hundreds, I must go and serve them. So in that way, the Lord will bless them through me. And so how much we pray that God will use us to share this new value system with more people, that we may reach out more people to know about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus changes our life. He opens our eyes to see the glory of eternity. Therefore, short-term persecution will not hinder us from attaining the glorious eternity. So please, may the Lord use us to bring more people to the Lord Jesus, and they will understand fully what's the true meaning of life. Yeah, because the Lord is the maker. We are his clay. May the Lord mold us and make us into a channel of blessings that we may be used to bless others. Now let's take a look at Satan's plan. he is constantly encouraging people to become more and more egocentric. His temptation pushes many to grasp power at all costs. The reason is simple. Because to them, power will bring glory and wealth. Wherever one goes, he will be surrounded by a lot of attendants. Yeah, that kind of feeling is irresistible to man. You see a lot of people, when people start to follow them, they feel so uplifted. No wonder these people, they want to grasp and never willing to forego the power that they have attained. My dear brothers and sisters, we must be extremely careful. We have to be careful with all these temptations, because temptation creeps in silently. Arrogance does not announce itself. That is why we need to spend time in daily devotion. So if you only fight for a position in the church, we want to be a deacon, the leader in the church, and we want to have high position in church, it will be very different. That is something that's really sad that's happening in the church, something that will hurt the Lord Jesus very much. There's a lot of arguments in the church. There are very few churches that can unite together to serve the Lord. So there are a lot of churches we can see that there's a lot of arguments inside the church. Even when they want to start a new church, there are a lot of arguments among the leaders of the church. And so because of the arguments, the church split it. And so they split into two groups, and then they start the church on their own. That is something that Paul does not like. Paul wanted us to be unified, united to serve the Lord. May the Lord help us to have this understanding. And we must be extremely careful, because temptation creeps in silently, and arrogance does not announce itself. For that reason, I always encourage brothers and sisters, you must spend time in your daily devotion. Because that's the time when you spend quiet time with the Lord. It is for your own benefits. Just spend a little bit of time, read a passage from the Bible, and use that passage, allow the passage to reach into your heart, that the word of God may touch you. And it's only that way that you will be able to strengthen your faith in the Lord. So if your spirit is we must allow the Spirit of God to enlighten us. Are there hidden sins inside us? So if there are temptations and sins in our heart, we have to confess immediately. I always emphasize on praying for our younger generations of youth and our little children. What they are going to face in the future is a very temptation place. It is not going to be easy for them. So let us learn how to humble ourselves in order to resist all those temptations. May the Lord help us. That God will always discipline those that He loves. So let us possess a keen sense. At least we will be attacked. Let me stress from the Genesis to Revelation, arrogance is our largest problem. Whenever we have a little bit of success, we become very arrogant. We thought we are the greatest. We fail to remember that it was all because of God's blessing. But from Paul, we saw something very different. Because Paul knew that all blessings are God-given. There's nothing he can boast about. He dare not even mention about his own talents. Paul's life of servitude is a great example for us to follow. So no matter what ministry you serve in the church, you must put emphasis on your relationship with the Lord. Next, you must find two or three persons who are very close to you as your prayer partners. Of course, most importantly, spouse's support will help you strengthen your weaknesses. So, because if your spouse will know where you are weak and where you need help, just like my wife will always give me advice on things that I have not done too well. So may God help us so that together we will tread the path of pleasing God. So may God help us to learn from our mistakes. If someone points out our fault, humbly examine our motive, our speech, and then also our deeds. After all, those are important things. After all, we are mere humans and we are prone to make a lot of mistakes in life. Do you remember Peter at Jerusalem? Wasn't he deep in spirit since one of the leaders in Jerusalem? There was one time when he was having a meal with a group of Gentile followers. James and few apostles arrived in their midst. Quickly, Paul moved over to the table reserved for Jews only. Okay. When Paul noticed it, he was not pleased at all. Immediately, he admonished Peter for his action. Although the moment was very embarrassing for Peter, he knew he was wrong. We must remember that there will be a time when we are weak spiritually. Then we must humble ourselves and seek after the Lord to protect us. So may the Lord enlighten us and may brothers just help us and guide us so that together we can continue to serve the Lord. Because we are all, in the broader sense, all of us are servants of God. Therefore, when we do something, it's always done from the heart. Especially during this time of trouble, may God help us to remind each other that we must use our life to bear witness of our faith. I'm sure you are familiar with the hymn titled Lift Up Love. The lyrics encourage us to live out the love of Jesus, because the love we have is very limited. So that when we have the love of Jesus inside us, we will be able to love like Jesus. Two days ago, I paid a visit to this couple. At the mall, I chanced upon some brother and sister there. I saw an Asian man selling some products like lightings and fixtures. So that man, the owner of the store, was an Asian. So I tried to chat up with him. But his response was lukewarm. He will answer one sentence. I have no idea why he acted that way. But I like those lightings and fixtures. And I think I can use it in one of my programs. But it is the manner. I bought the light from him. But my idea at the time is, it does not matter what his attitude to me was. What is more important is my attitude towards him. Because my attitude reflects the truth taught by Jesus. Because I am Son of God. I am a Christian. So the Bible teaches, the biblical truth tells me that I must treat everybody to be equal. God's truth embodies universal value. So I pay no attention to the attitude of others. So when I bought that piece of lighting, and that's the light that I bought the other day, that day, I kind of like it. That day, I did not even try to beat his price. I was thinking, it's just a small business, have low profit margin. But in my past, I would have done otherwise. Even $2 or $3 off, I would be delighted. Because I enjoy bargaining with the people. I really like to bargain for a good deal. Yeah, it's not that I will profit. I will pay $2 or $3 less. Rather, I enjoy the time that I can spend with him. But that day, I did not bargain at all with him. I just bought the light because I like it. I'm sure you like shopping, don't you? The thrill of it is that you enjoy it. Using this as an analogy. Yeah, sometimes we got something too expensive, something you don't feel good. The most important when you shop and enjoy shopping. I'm not being concerned about how his attitude was with me. So I'm going to use this lighting to be used in our TV program. So may the Lord help us. So I would use this analogy to show that there are lots of small matters in life. If you really want to haggle over every bit of it, you will be overwhelmed. So let me tell you this. Spend less time on arguing. Spend more time on prayer. Tell the person sitting next to you, spend less time on argument, spend more time on prayer. So now let us return to the letter that Paul wrote to brothers and sisters in Rome. Has he ever been to the city of Rome? No, not yet. But if you read it carefully, we can sense the true feelings that Paul penned into his epistle. Indeed, we can see true love of Paul for those brothers and sisters. We can see two characteristics of a faithful servant. Number one, he humbled himself to lift up Jesus. Number two, he was full of bravery and perseverance. I've said it more than once, and do allow me to repeat it again. Each one of us will one day stand before our Lord Jesus. One day, we will face our Lord, will be in front of the Lord face to face, and we have to report to Him. So let us pray that until that day, we meet Him face to face, Jesus will have this to say about us. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happening. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you allow your servant Paul to write the book of Romans so that to teach us how to be a faithful and humble servant. Every day we will have a heart that honor you. Then we will use every talent that you have granted us to serve the church. May the Lord teach us how to apply what we learn into our lives. We would like to render all the glory unto you. honors belong to you. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day the entire world will bow before you, all knees will come down on you, and Jesus Christ will be our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Together, let's bow and pray for the offering. Lord, we thank you that you have provided everything that we need in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you give us your word as the food of our daily life. That you have provided us to that we quest after. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us to be your children. And not only can we enjoy this love from you, but we can also respond to you. And happily, we are putting up our offerings now. We know that what it pleases you most is that we offer up ourselves as a living sacrifice. May the Lord help, Lord, may you help us that we can be united together. And we may follow your footsteps. May your name be glorified on the earth. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who are at home, please arise as we receive the benediction.
we're headed that way now. So I didn't know if you were with him or not. Okay. All right. All right, we'll see you then.